I am here with Greg Ruberg. He is the CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital, and we have been checking in since March every Friday at 10:30, just about every Friday. And Greg, are you there?
I am here. Good morning.
Good morning. It's been a couple weeks, and I know that there's been developments. There always are. Should we start with the testing questions?
Yes, that would be great.
Okay.
The most common question we've been getting this week is around testing of individuals in the community. And I just want to maybe touch base on who should get tested for COVID, because, again, we're getting questions from staff and patients and individuals. So similar to what we've talked about before, we are recommending and suggesting that people who are symptomatic get tested for COVID-19.
Yep.
And we've talked about these symptoms, but I'll repeat them again. So it's cough, shortness of breath, fever, chills, headache, sore throat, muscle pain, loss of taste or smell, and then other less common symptoms such as GI symptoms, things like nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea.
Okay.
So those are the symptoms right now that are related to COVID-19.
Okay. So we start with that. So if you are symptomatic, you are encouraged to go to get a test. Is there more to it than that, or is that where we begin and end?
So that's number one.
Okay.
So that's kind of the first testing criteria. We are still recommending that people who are asymptomatic not get tested. And there's a couple of reasons for that is, and I'll talk about a couple of questions I've received this week, is if you're not symptomatic, we had somebody call in and say that they were exposed to somebody who was tested positive for COVID the day before and they wanted to be tested one day later. The challenge with that is it's probably going to show up as negative. As we know, it's 10 to 14 days of incubation sometimes before that COVID will show up as positive. So if you were exposed to somebody yesterday that was COVID positive, testing should not be the first approach. You should be doing things like self-isolating,
right,
wearing a mask, washing your hands, all of those kind of things. So that's kind of the first one.
Yeah.
The second criteria or standard really is, have you been contacted by somebody in public health recommending that you have a COVID test? And what that is goes back to that discussion around contact tracing. So if somebody tests positive, they get contacted by the state health department and their provider. And then the contact tracer or the public health official will then kind of retrace your steps with you to see who you've been in close contact with and who's at risk. And so an individual might get a call from public health saying that you were in contact with somebody who tested positive for COVID 1 week ago. Because of that close contact and the time frame and all of the other kind of specifics around that, they may recommend COVID testing. So that's really criteria number two, and that's more of a public health function.
Yeah.
The other piece I would add to that one is what we look at as healthcare providers is we want to see really there's two caveats to that. Were you within 6 feet of somebody who tested positive and then for more than 15 minutes? So it's close contact for a prolonged period of time. And that comes back to a concept called viral load. And so you could pass somebody in the grocery store who's COVID positive, but if you're wearing a mask and they're wearing a mask and you're not, you know, they didn't cough or sneeze or you didn't touch something and touch your eye, you're very low risk of transmission.
Yeah.
Now, if you're right next to somebody in a restaurant, shoulder to shoulder without a mask on for, you know, 15 or 30 minutes, it's higher risk that you could really catch COVID from that person. So that's that close contact piece.
Yeah. So the magic number is 6 feet, 15 minutes. I'm just trying to think of a good way for so that it's easy for people to remember, like, what would constitute close contact? And that's what I'm hearing today. So that's good.
Yeah, so what we always go back to when I answer these questions is think about the social distancing recommendation of 6 feet. So if you're following that, you're putting yourself at a lower risk of getting COVID from somebody who's positive. If you don't follow that and get within 6 feet and you stay in that close proximity for a period of time, again, your risk just gets higher and higher. So,
yeah.
Again, it ties right back to those recommendations from CDC and the health department and everybody else.
Yeah.
So that's important.
All right. Good. And so, and I assume that continues to be sort of a limited number of tests and they're being handed out judiciously, but it sounds like you have enough for any asymptomatic people or people who have been approached by some official that's looking to trace somebody who has been positive. Is that an accurate recap?
Yes. What we've seen over the past 7 to 10 days is a significant increase in demand of COVID testing. And we can talk through the algorithm again. I think that would be important.
Sure.
But we're seeing more and more tests happening on the community level, which we call individuals being tested who are meeting criteria, but also patients who are being tested. So the third criteria I was going to mention on the other topic was if your provider orders a COVID test, so it could be your physician, your nurse practitioner, your physician's assistant, that's the third way you could get a COVID test. And what they're going to do is use the same criteria that are noted above because those are health department guidelines. So yeah. Kind of that three different channels. But regarding the testing, what we're seeing, Lakeview still has an adequate supply of testing to meet demand in our county. As you know, people know, cases are increasing here just as expected as people, we're out and about more as businesses reopen.
Yeah.
But we're seeing a lot of pressure on that. And the news recently had a story about the Veterans Home in Silver Bay having a couple of positive cases. And that's what we've been really trying to be well prepared for and trying to prevent. And so we, in the last 3 days, we've had tests happening throughout the day pretty much nonstop. And so it's been significantly more than we had even a week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay. And then are these all the same tests? I know there's a test that takes days to get back, and there's a test that's pretty quick to get back. Are we talking about this the same test for all these, or do you have two different tests?
Yep, we have two different ones. We have what we call the send-out test, and that's when somebody comes in, we collect the sample, it gets sent down for Lakeview, sent to the Mayo Clinic laboratory. It used to be, when we talked in weeks past or months past, it was 48 to maybe 72-hour turnaround time.
Right.
So within 3 days, we were getting results. We've seen cases now going 6 to 7+ days to get results back, and that creates all kinds of challenges.
Yeah.
Again, that goes right back to the demand of more testing happening across the state, and those labs are just getting overwhelmed with the high volume of samples. The challenge for us locally is if it's taking 6, 7, 8 days to get a test back, we have to really rely on good judgment of that individual during that time, not just to potentially spread it to other people.
Right.
And, you know, people are getting frustrated because they're waiting that long for a test, but there's nothing more we can do. The other test is the one-hour turnaround, and that's an internal test. We have an analyzer in-house, and so if we have an admit to our hospital that we're concerned about, we would do that test, that analyzer, to get a test back about 45 minutes. It takes us to get that result back.
Okay.
Those are they're becoming even extremely hard to get. We were good shape on those until this week, and we've used a few more, and we're really struggling to get more of those.
Okay.
I was on a call last evening with CEOs from across the state of Minnesota with the Hospital Association talking about, is there a way that we can work differently with our supply chain and our other partners to get more of all tests, because we're all feeling the strain of testing.
Yeah. And is that partly because of the pressure coming from other parts of the country, or is it all sort of within our state, our supply and demand?
I would say certainly across the country, you know, most of our supplies are sourced, you know, across the U.S., but as you know, when some states use more, of course, it's just less in the supply chain. And Minnesota has set some separate supply chains, but we're seeing increased testing across Minnesota as well. So it's really the same issue both nationally and across the state.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. Testing is the big topic, but there are many more. Do you have anything to add about the masks that have been the topic of so many discussions before?
Yeah, so the mask is the other hot topic this week. And again, on the call I had last night, was a pretty in-depth and engaging discussion about whether we should have a mandate across the state for mask use in public. And this has been a controversial topic, as you and I have talked about many times. There are people that, you know, feel like wearing the mask is the right thing to do, and I agree with that. When you're out in public, when you can't maintain 6 feet or more, there are people that I've heard say, I will not wear a mask. It's my constitutional right to go out without one. And really, what is, as healthcare leaders across the state, physicians, administrators, managers, the research shows that masks do help. They're not perfect. There are limitations with masks and what type of mask, but we know they do help prevent the spread. As we continue to learn more, we're strongly recommending that mask use be more widespread.
Yeah.
So, for example, at Lakeview, we've had employees wearing masks for months. We've had all of our patients wearing masks throughout the hospital and clinic, and people have been great. They've been very compliant. The discussion last night was, should Minnesota have a mandate across the state that you have to wear a mask when you're in public settings? The challenges around that, it's the right thing to do. The challenges around that are, how do you enforce it?
Right.
Which puts a burden on someone, probably law enforcement and others. But we know, when you look at the trend of what's happening right now, in the last, I would say, even 10 to 14 days, we're seeing this gradual increase, even in Lake County, but across the state, of increased cases. We're testing more, so of course we're going to see more cases. We are going to see more and more cases, and they're going to multiply quicker. And so we're still thinking that September is going to be a challenging month, going September, October, with COVID and then influenza starting. And there's a lot of discussion now, but would more universal masking now really help to kind of suppress that in September? And I think the consensus is the answer is yes.
Wear a mask now and potentially head off big problems later, maybe is the message.
I think so.
Something like that.
You know, and part of the other argument that I've heard from people, and I think people have been very open to share feedback, which has been great. You know, I've heard some people say, well, we should just shut the economy back down because we have to protect people. And if you go back to March, I went back and looked through some notes and emails again, just for this perspective. The whole purpose of the shutdown in March was primarily, there were other goals, but primarily was to allow hospitals and healthcare systems to prepare for a surge. We thought the surge was coming quicker, and it didn't, which was great. But we needed time to create surge plans and buy additional beds and additional ventilators and get masks and face shields and all of those things in place. And it was successful. We did that. We shut down. We prepared. Now we know COVID is going to be more community transmitted throughout the community, and hospitals will be ready to care for it. We still have an obligation to try to reduce that surge or reduce the number to protect people. And so I think closing back down is not the answer, because then what happens is it just prolongs it again. The surge is still going to be transmitted.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any sense of, do we have control not only on how fast it blows through, or not only how much it blows through, but how quickly? Like, if it's less, obviously if we get a vaccine, it cuts the whole thing short. But aside from a vaccine, is it a matter of fast and furious, or long and prolonged, or could it be short and, you know, less of a peak and less of a long thing? Because we've heard all this about herd immunity too, and that eventually everyone has to get it, and so why not just have it now? I mean, that has been part of the conversation that I've heard as well.
Yeah, and really, I think that's the million-dollar question. Is, you know, I've read a lot on both sides of that, and I think when you talk about the herd immunity concept, where you just let it run its course, you say it's going to be widespread anyway, let's just let it go quick. The challenge with that is people are going to die, and people that shouldn't die are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to protect our communities and protect our family and relatives and everybody else. And so you think about people that have immune system issues or comorbidities, the herd immunity would have a significant negative impact on those individuals. And so with healthcare providers, our goal is to keep everybody healthy. We want a healthy Minnesota, every patient, every person. You know, we do our best to keep as healthy as we can. And so I don't think that's a responsible approach, just do a free-for-all and get it over with. I don't think that would work.
Right.
I just think because it's a novel virus, I don't think we understand enough about it to really make good predictions, other than to protect as many people as we can using what we know at the time. And I've heard people say, well, this just keeps changing, so I don't trust any of it. I still think we have to go back to the science and really look at what is the science telling us from all of the knowledge we have on other viruses and bacteria and all of that, and do what we think is right at the time. And right now that appears to be social distancing, masking, avoiding large crowds, washing your hands, staying home if you're sick. And those are, you know, I always think, too, we had a discussion about wearing a mask. For most people, is not a difficult thing to do. It's inconvenient. I think we all agree to that.
Yeah.
But if you can protect somebody or prevent a surge where people are going to be, you know, have severe complications or die from it, I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, Greg, we've covered a bit, but is there more?
Well, I think you'll be seeing more on the masking topic. You know, I know Duluth and Superior passed an ordinance to require, it's a mandate there now, and other Winona and Rochester have done the same. I think you'll see more and more of that. I think the state at some point will take a stand one way or the other.
Yeah,
it may be more than a strong recommendation. Some people say, well, maybe just keep advocating for people to do the right thing. I mean, that's one approach. But I think you'll see more testing. You'll see more activity around people are anxious. They've been exposed to people with COVID now in our county for really the first time.
Yes.
And so then it really hits home about, I want to be tested today. And so
right.
It's different when it's in New York.
Yeah. Right. So, and it's different for you too now that it's a more an active thing. I forgot, we have, how many cases do we have right now in Lake County, or how many have we had? 12, I think.
Yep. Yesterday was posted as 12, and we've got, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of tests pending. So that number will continue to increase, just as we expected.
Yeah.
The one thing I would, you know, just again reassure the public, though, I think there's the kind of the other side is the total percentage of people with positive tests is still very, very low. So I think when you talk about the population as a whole, and you know, we're still seeing less than 1% of the population being positive. Again, that's growing, but we know much more about it. We're well prepared. We've taken precautions. You know, I still think we're doing a lot of really good work to slow and really mitigate the impact. So I think we can't lose sight of that either. It's not all negative.
Right, right. And I hear you saying, and I've heard also that, you know, if we take a lot of the very basic procedures, if just about everybody does that, then it will make a significant difference and it will be manageable. It's going to be here, but it's going to be manageable.
That's correct.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Greg, for your continued work, and we will check in again next week.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. That was Greg Ruberg. He is the CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital with his weekly check-in with KETWH.